If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we are talking about Shrinking, Season 3, Episode 11, entitled And That's Our Time, the finale of the third season of Shrinking. We have reached the precipice of the mountain that is this Apple TV, Jason Segel-led show. Everyone's moving on except Jimmy. It is frustrating from time to time.
It's frustrating, and we also have a new Apple CEO announced this week. That's fun.
Yeah,
they're, maybe this will change.
Probably not. No.
No, it won't. It won't change.
They're making a hardware guy the CEO, which I find interesting.
That is interesting.
The dude who did the AirPods and stuff. So instead of doing like marketing sales boy as CEO, they're doing like hardware boy as CEO. And I just have a strange suspicion he's not going to be walking up to Bill Lawrence and being like, season four of Shrinking, let's talk about it.
Quite the contrary. He's actually a TV connoisseur.
Oh, fuck. He's involved. So we have been talking about drinking for this whole like last 2 months, and we have been taking like intermittent weeks off because of scheduling conflicts. We sincerely apologize, but we are now going to finish up actually talking about this show.
It ended, what, 2 weeks ago?
It ended 2 weeks ago. So as timely as always we are.
Of course.
We've been talking about it, though, the whole time. This has been an up and down season. It's had a few weird storylines, although I would argue less than season two. I think season two was really plagued by that, the Liz and the Derek cheating thing, and that dragged the season two down, which we've talked about multiple times. But I don't think there was one of those in season three. It was more so just a few characters were really left behind, and your main character was regressing the entire time, and those are hard things to reconcile for an audience, I think.
Yeah, but honestly, it shook it up a little bit because Jimmy like got better, and it's actually, instead of, I mean, I know this is feel good happy show, but instead of him getting better and being happy all the time, it's more interesting that he did regress a little bit.
Yes.
And how he handles that with his newfound mental state of being a really positive therapist.
And by the way, I rewatched the last two episodes leading up to this one. And reliving the Jimmy-Paul fight, if you want to call it a fight, it was just kind of Jimmy yelling at Paul. I felt so bad for Paul. And I'm always reminded of how good Harrison Ford is at acting.
Of course. Yeah.
And so, like, if nothing else, there's that.
If nothing else, Harrison Ford's great.
Right. Yeah. So this season is about transitional moments. We also recall that this is basically a three-season arc, as described by creator Bill Lawrence and Brett Goldberg, a.k.a. Roy Kent. And they are going to do a fourth season, apparently, that is either a time jump or a different structure completely, but it won't be exactly this story. This episode is wrapping up a three-story arc, so we should feel as though it has come to a conclusion at the very least. We should feel a level of satisfaction, and because of the way they decided to end this episode, which I can describe now as feel good, happy time, which I don't think surprising. I think they did have to end on feel good, happy time. This is Ted Lasso. This is Shrinking. This is every Bill Lawrence show where he does instill a sense of hope during or within the entirety of them. Like while we're talking about Jimmy's regression, we get to the end and it's feel good, happy time. And I wanted it that way, and then it gave it to me, and then I was like, feel good, happy time again.
God, of course they did.
Yeah.
Just immediately upset.
Which is on me. Like, I'm complaining about the thing I wanted.
Yeah, I am interested to see how they do with this new storyline for season four. Or because they said all the characters are the same, all the actors are returning. Yes, Harrison Ford will be there. But what's going to be the thing? Like, is it going to be a new version of the same type of stories? We can't go on the same arc. But is it going to be his daughter's in college and they're dealing with that? Like, is it going to be a continuation of that, you think? Or are we starting completely fresh, totally different, unrelated in every aspect?
I just have a feeling it's going to be like sophomore or junior year for Alice. The college side of the story is going to be an ensemble college story with Paul roving around like a wisdom Yoda every now and again, deteriorating from Parkinson's, connecting Alice to her old life while she's living out her like college dream of being in Middletown, Connecticut, inexplicably.
That sounds so dumb to me.
And then simultaneously, the like sitcom that's going to be the LA storyline between, now that we know, you know, Jimmy and Colby Smulders and whatever that's going to be.
Right. Yeah, I am intrigued because I do love that we're going to see Harrison Ford, but he's also in Connecticut. So do you think that a split season where it's from two completely different areas of the country will work? Or is this, I mean, this is clearly a money grab.
every TV show is a money grab.
But could it work?
To some degree.
Sure. Yeah, but they're done with their story arc. This was supposed to be three seasons. We're going into a fourth. Can it work?
Yes. By the way, quick side note, this podcast is a failed money grab.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is, it depends on timeline, I think, right? If they do the fourth season of Shrinking is over a weekend where everybody is, or like it's the graduation for Alice,
interesting.
You know, like if they do, it's 10 or 8 episodes and it's over one weekend, it can absolutely work. If they're going to do, it's like, this is a over 2 to 4 month story with split west to east. I think it's going to be harder to pull off.
Yeah, it's a little disjointed. I'd be curious if they would do like Alice returns home to visit on spring break or something.
Sure.
And things happen, but we get flashbacks of her at college, because I think that would be fun for an episode to get like a flashback of what she's been through for the first whatever months it's been, and how she's going to relay that back to friends and family in California.
Yeah, like Scrubs flashbacks or Scrubs cutaways, basically the Family Guy of sitcoms.
Yeah, right.
Which Family Guy is. Anyway, let's talk about, and that's our time, this episode and what happened. Alice is leaving for college, which is hitting Jimmy pretty hard. Empty nesting is not a great look for him at the same time as he is going through a whole lot of change. He's really mad at his father. And having a bunch of daddy issues. He just had that fight with Paul. He just broke up with Colby Smulders. He is in a state of flux and really, really losing it.
Awful, awful. And I can't help but feel bad for him. And there's nothing that he can do. Everyone is doing their own lives. His daughter is, you know, becoming a woman, going to college. His friends are growing and expanding, not leaving him, technically, but growing and having their own things outside of his life. And that is, many times in this episode, I truly felt bad for him. I'm like, I can't imagine just being alone and there's really not much you can do and everyone just is leaving. On a good note, though, it's positive. But that's sad in and of itself. And yeah, I mean, I hope it's not too terrible. It ends up not being too terrible, I suppose, by the end of the episode. But
it's not going to be too terrible. They end on happy-go-lucky. It's fine. But at the same time, at one point, Jimmy's just like, I feel stuck. And I said out loud, you are. What are you talking about? You don't feel stuck.
Captain Obvious.
Hit the nail on the head much, James. Meanwhile, Paul has officially retired and moved to Connecticut. So we actually get like video of him in his new Connecticut house, and he's staying with Meg and her husband, who Paul hates. And so they're in this house before they move into their other one. So we see them in like a transitional period, but establish that Paul is in Connecticut.
Yeah. And I'm curious where, did they say if he's living in Middletown or not?
No.
Or did they just nondescript?
Dude, this exact thing happened to me. And it didn't happen to anyone else except for people who live in Connecticut or have lived in Connecticut in the past. I was like, is Meg right now? I want to know so bad. I'm assuming it's Fairfield County. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say Darien.
Darien. This is, by the way, just press skip for the next 45 seconds because everybody who's still here, God bless your souls. But this is the most, anyway, I feel as though it's like a Southport or it's like a Fairfield.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a Greenwich.
Or like New Canaan.
Maybe. A Danbury.
Yeah, it's like the suburbs, not quite the city. I mean, it's not Stanford.
No, but I think, I bet he's going to move Paul, that is, into a house in the same city.
Yeah.
And it will be one of those things. It won't be like Gilmore Girls-esque where they just made up a place and then it turns out like every town in Connecticut is 15 minutes away from where they live. I think it'll mainly like they're in Fairfield County. Alice is in Middletown. And at some point, you know, Paul will like curmudgeoningly be like, I don't know how this is such a small state and it still takes an hour for me to get to Middletown from bearing all the traffic.
The construction on 95.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely projecting.
I would love it to be like Mystic or Essex.
Oh, shit.
Or so, like one of those bougie shoreline towns that's, that maybe will get some water views we're maybe familiar with.
Yeah. He's just like, actually, I live in Catherine Hepburn's house in Old Saybrook.
Oh, Old Saybrook, yeah.
This has truly never been a worse podcast.
No. We're speaking only what we know.
I know. Okay. Anyway, Gabby is now running the practice without Paul. At the same time, the rest of the group are all stepping into new phases of their lives, that being Sean, Brian, Liz, etc. And as Jimmy nails just the coffin itself, which is his life, he is stuck. Speaking of Gabby, she is taking control, and there's a bit of a twist this episode. So she decides to turn the practice into the Trauma Focus Center, and she is doing it largely on her own now that Paul is gone. But a bit of a curveball. An emotional occurrence happens when she finds a ring in Derek's drawer and then can't get it off.
Yeah, she put it on. A bad mistake. They're not sized.
Yeah. Yeah. This is
From experience now.
Yeah, this is as niche as it gets. Like 2 minutes on Connecticut, and then it's like, let's talk wedding bands. So she can't take it off. She looked up the price. I really liked that when she was talking to Liz later, and she's like, he spent $13,000.
That's a pretty big incredible.
And Liz being like, you looked up the price, and Gabby was like, oh yeah, immediately. Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't I do that?
It's the first thing I did. They're getting engaged, or they're going to get engaged.
Amazing.
It happens in this episode. Derek shows up to a backyard and looks around and is just like, my whole family is, what the heck? What the heck?
Surprise, I'm proposing to you, you bitch.
All the while, Sean is moving out to start a new job, living independently, and he has to tell Jimmy. And again, this is just piling on. Jimmy keeps doing things where he's just like, oh my God, I'm so happy for you, Gabby. I talked to Paul earlier, and I don't even want the business. And oh my God, I'm so happy for you, Sean, going to this new phase in your life. And it is like, I think, the therapist within him, where he feels the need and understands that it's the right response to be like, y'all, I'm so happy for you guys. You're growing. While being on the inside, being like, I'm the saddest boy that's ever lived.
Yeah, he's clearly projecting a little bit in it, too.
And at the same time, Jimmy is also now preparing for Alice to actually go and is building up. This is like the main theme of the episode, where Jimmy was building up his perfect version of how that was going to go. We would eventually see that it gets ruined because Summer goes with them and is just interrupting them the entire time. But Jimmy is just like creating this false narrative for what his life can be from on a moment to moment basis. And then constantly, you know, not meeting those expectations because they're unrealistic. And this is the like delusion that he has, this defense mechanism that he has kind of set up for him on a daily basis. And it is in this moment of, you know, great change that it kind of cracks down the middle and is no longer working because it never should have worked in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. It is interesting to see this dichotomy of him. You know, he's a therapist. He tries to give people grounding, control of their lives, and he is just, I don't want to say spiraling, but he's definitely spiraling. he's fractured, and he's losing control, and there's nothing he can do, like I said earlier. And I think he's accepting it, begrudgingly. Yeah. He's accepting it, but yeah, I'm curious to see if we get, between season 3 and 4, kind of an in-between, like what happened to Jimmy when everyone was gone and he truly was alone. Maybe the first night that he wasn't hanging out with Colby Smulders' character, like how is he processing that? I wonder if it's gonna, if they're gonna even highlight that, or if it's just gonna be assumed everything's
fine. We got a little bit of it. Like we got the morning after where he's still, I mean,
that's true.
Where like Matt walks in and takes a pizza. But at the same time, you know, Paul and Jimmy are icing each other out. But then that kind of cracks this episode too, where they start calling each other and having, you know, brief conversations, but it's building, yeah. It's ramping. And then Jimmy sends Alice away to college, realizes that, and tries to accept the fact that she doesn't need him the same way anymore. But at the same time, Jimmy says to Paul on the phone one of those times, like, we got to go get a normal breakfast. And Paul then confesses to the crowd in Connecticut that he did all this. And all of them were like, you're so dumb. Why? He's reaching out to you in a time of need and you were not there for him. He's like, well, he has to pick himself up by his bootstraps. And he has to be his own man. And he's like, well, yeah, you're not his father, but he thinks of you like you're his father. He wants you,
a father figure.
He wants you to act as though you are a better father that his is, you know, and you, he needs you for that. And he's like, I don't want him. But at this, and then everyone gets mad at him. He's like, I don't know what to do anymore. And then a true actual surprise happened. I did not think Paul was going to get on a plane and have the quote unquote breakfast with Jimmy. And calls him and tells him to come.
No,
and is there? I was honestly surprised.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine that flight last minute, dude?
No, yeah, he took a red eye.
So expensive, dude.
He took a red eye. He went back in time because that's how time zones work.
And my immediate thought was that was an expensive flight. But then realizing, he's a millionaire.
Yeah, he's fine. He's gonna be okay. But yeah, last minute. I wonder if he did first class. I wonder what he watched. Did he watch like Twisters on the plane?
Probably Twisters or Jurassic Park. That's what
had to have. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Paul is doing this like there's this big climax, and Paul does this speech about, you know, Jimmy needs to, you know, figure his life out, and the only way he's going to move forward. This is what I gained from it. I'm sure other people gained something different, but what I gained from it was like Paul saying to Jimmy, like the place you go here from now, from here, the life you build from this moment on is sort of up to you, bro. So you need to figure it the fuck out. Also, I've sort of pushed you into it. And by the way, we're not going to breakfast. I'm getting back on a plane to the East Coast. And Sophie is here. Good luck.
Yeah, I do love that Paul did finally say, like, you're like a son to me. If you ever need me, while I don't think you do, but if you ever need me, I will be here. It's like that reassurance that hopefully he never needs, but maybe he will. And that he said he expressed his love for him as a son. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the closure that Jimmy needed.
Yes.
The validation that he needed to move forward and start rebuilding his life.
Yeah, this was a 3-season buildup for Paul to eventually say exactly what Jimmy wanted him to say. And in a, you know, feel good lovey-dovey show, which is what this yeah. is, with, you know, all the turmoil built in, still, it's what it is. You got to the end of the story and the father said the exact thing the son wanted to hear. And that is supposed to be like a, and then everything was fine. And you can wrap the blanket around your body while you watch it and be like, oh, good. I like this show because it makes me feel good moment where you didn't have that for the second half of the season, but it all made it okay right. because you got to the end and now it feels good and the show is good again. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. But I do like that, Paul. But. No, it's fine. It's understandable. But I do like that Paul kind of left him with the, hey, you either stay stuck or you figure your shit out and go make some scars. Like, put yourself yeah. out there, be vulnerable. That's the only way that you're going to learn how to accept yourself, accept the people around you, and love and learn and move forward. Yeah. And I like that he really did leave very abruptly.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, you're in this position now. Figure it out. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. If you want to live, laugh, love, you got to build that shit yourself, Jim. Get over there. Get over there and hang out with Colby Smulders, who, by the way, terrible casting. Really mad that she's been in the whole season. Yeah. This could have been literally any other actress and it would have been better.
Why do you think they chose her?
Because of the familiarity of it all, because it's kitschy, because it's Bill Lawrence. It's the same reason they did like the confrontation in the 3rd season of this show. It's because, Bill Lawrence watched a YouTube video of Jason Segel do it with Neil Patrick Harris on the internet and was like, I'm going to put that in my show. And then like he watched How I Met Your Mother and was like, I'm not going to have it be Allison Hannigan / Lily. I'm going to have it be Robin. Ha ha ha. How kitschy and fun will that be? And that's, I don't know. That's why they did it. And, that
now,
I think,
now
just if, laughing in my face while it happens.
Who else could have been a good cast for this?
Oh,
I'm like
gosh.
Trying to think of other actresses that really could have nailed the personality that Colby Smulders has. I think she's really good for this role, but it is really hard to disassociate her from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So it's like this character is basically, you take a manic pixie dream girl, you expand it out, you give that character some actual edges, some actual backstory, some actual complication.
Yeah.
And actually like latent anger issues, which I think is the thing that makes her most interesting. So it's Jess from New Girl, but with latent anger issues. So it becomes like a full on character rather than a caricature of itself in its own description. So I don't know. Like
there's one person on my mind that I could have seen in this role, but then when I think about it again, I'm like, no, that wouldn't be good. Is Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
But right. then I'm like, no.
It can't be that big of a star, I think.
It's too much.
Like I
yeah,
was
exactly
thinking,
right.
I don't know why I'm thinking, but I was thinking Brie Larson, but almost too big of a star there as well.
Yeah, for sure. And like she feels too normal. I don't know how to explain that. But like Colby Smulders has an aura about her that's not like, she's not just like an everyday person, even at face value. There's like a personality trait about her, I mean, in the way she acts too, that just is a little bit more intriguing than Captain Marvel?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like who is a mid-level millennial queen, you know? Like not so famous that you're like, "Hey, that's Russell Crowe." But at the same time, she has the chops to do this. I want to figure this out. We're not leaving until we figure this out. God damn it. Okay.
No,
What is a thing that is less popular but still good? Like it can't be Shailene Woodley. I was thinking Shailene Woodley just now because I just saw her in Paradise.
No,
still too big of a star.
Yeah, no.
Needs. To
I also
be
think that she's she looks too young.
Yeah,
she looks too young.
You're right. Actually, that's true. I think this needs to be early 40s. Let's see. I mean, okay, the thing is, you could have done Kristen Milioti, who played the...
Kristen Milioti would have been great.
Played the mother in How I Met Your Mother, and so it still would have been, right, like, fun and kitschy, but I think still better.
What about, like, Rachel McAdams?
Better. Yes. I think still too big of a
star. I think she's too big, yeah.
So, I'm just scrolling.
I just looked up...
That's not
terrible. What about Kristen Ritter?
Kristen Ritter, perhaps. Honestly, I think that could have been like... That could have been pretty low-key.
She's got a little bit too much ennui, though. What about Evangeline Lilly?
I love...
The Wasp, dude.
I love the description. A little too much ennui.
Yeah, right. Well, she's a little, it is. It's a little too much, like, I don't give a shit.
Right. Who is the person you just said?
Evangeline Lilly.
Oh.
The Wasp from Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
Hope Van Dyne.
Of course. I think Evangeline Lilly actually would be pretty solid. We haven't.
Yeah, I think she would be good.
No, Kirsten Dunst, perhaps. She's still too big of a star.
Yeah, maybe. I think she's still too big of a star. Like, if the camera panned to the first time Colby Smulders was on screen in the show, and it was Kirsten Dunst, what would you like? How would you react?
Yeah, bad, I guess.
Like, whoa! Oh, well.
I think the answer actually would probably be like Tatiana Maslany, but she would never take this role in a good chillion years. I don't know. What do you guys think, audience? Tell us. In fact, put a poll on Threads, Adam. Who would have been a better person in this role?
I will.
That'd be sick.
I'll do that.
All right, cool. Good talk.
Tatiana Maslany would be good too, actually. I'm thinking about that. I think she would have been great. She's got like that Girl Next Door kind of vibe. Yeah.
Or, you know, the lady who plays Elliot in Scrubs, another Bill Lawrence show. Make it be her. What's her goddamn Sarah Chalk? That would have been even better.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, these are all good suggestions. But we got Colby Smulders, which is fine. But it's hard to disassociate. So I understand. Yeah,
it is hard to disassociate. But at the same time, you know, this show ends in a place where everyone is leveling up their life and Jimmy is finally forced to stop hiding and play catch up with just the distance he hasn't been able to cover emotionally for the last few years. And so it's good. It feels nice. It ends on a high note. You feel as though there's hope for Jimmy, and that's good.
Yeah, I like that. I like the hope feel-good show of the year so far anyway, and I'm excited to see what they do for a season 4 if they're resetting the story. I think that's going to be interesting and cool. So hopefully it's good.
Overall, review of the third season from your boy Adam.
I liked it a lot. I think, like you said at the beginning, it moved a lot better than season 2. I think it wrapped up things that we were kind of waiting on. I like the progression of the characters. I liked that I eventually cared more about Sean's story. I liked that Harrison Ford is absolutely killing it with his performance in this. I can only imagine it getting better as he starts to progress more and it becomes like a more difficult situation for him. I think that can be very emotional, and he's very good at that, turns out. I think Jimmy's wrap up was good. I think it could have, I guess, played itself out maybe a little bit more cohesive. Like the whole, even though I did in real time, like that Paul came back and had that meeting, I think that it felt a little rushed as I'm thinking back at it. It felt a little, like just in the episode itself. Like if we got 12 episodes and the final episode was kind of the rekindling with Paul or something, it just, the last 15 minutes of the episode were the decision to have Paul come back.
Yeah.
And him coming back and then immediately leaving. It was just really fast.
Did it have to be that to be a surprise? I don't know. It's just a little bit egregious because there was so much fucking dilly-dallying around in the middle of the season.
Yeah. 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 There was a couple of episodes that were just kind of like meh, or like, oh, okay, not a ton really happened, but it still progressed some of the stories. It was a little disjointed in the middle, but it did end up coming back to baseline, I suppose.
By the way, the actual actress I want, Ashley Williams, She played Victoria, which Ashley is like William. The early mother option if they got canceled in How I Met Your Mother, and then they sort of moved on from her. Look up a picture of Ashley. You might know this actress or might not, Ashley, but I think she would actually be perfect. She should have been cast.
Where is she from? What has she been in?
How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, she was in How I Met Your Mother. I don't remember her.
Yeah, you wouldn't. They moved on from her so fast. They were, again, they were going to just make her the mom if they got canceled after two seasons, but they didn't. And they were like, oh, we can just do this forever.
Oh, she was in that show Love Sick.
Yes.
I think. Yeah. And, or in that movie Love Sick, excuse me. I'm just looking at her acting past and like, it's not a lot jumps out. Like, I don't, but I mean, like, as if I'm going on looks alone, I think, yes, she fits that mold for who I would imagine who could replace Colby Smulders.
People who are like How I Met Your Mother heads, like really, really into it, are still get weirdly defensive about her character, Victoria. Really? Like, that should have been it. Should have been somebody. Could have been a contender. Like, that kind of stuff. But
yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, my overall review of the third season, I think I've been so explicit about it the entire time. I had a good time watching it.
Yeah.
I think overall it was a better season of television than Paradise ended up being, but the first half of Paradise's new season was better. It's hard again not to just completely compare the things I'm watching all simultaneously. In fact, I think almost every show I'm watching right now is like good, but has a one fatal flaw that I will just have to forgive and get through. Like, we're going to start talking about The Boys next week, and that is going to be a common factor there. Like, really, really good, but one or two things are just kind of straight up bad. But this show, Shrinking, I think because it was being wrapped up and because that was the intent, it seems as from the beginning, at least from the third season, it felt like a nice bow was put on it at the end, and it felt like the end of a movie, which it didn't have to, and they pulled it off. I liked this better than the Ted Lasso ending. So, you know, there's that.
That's fair. That's fair. However, we are also getting a resurgence of Ted Lasso. I think they're done shooting. They're about to be done shooting next season. Totally a money grab on this one, because this was Jason Sudeikis was like, nah, we done. And right. He had to approve the next one.
Yeah. And then they had a meeting and he walked out and he was like, turns out we're not done, actually.
yeah, right.
They gave me
a bunch of money.
Generational wealth. And I was like, oh, okay. Did you see recently that Apple gave Jonah Hill $20 million to make his new movie with them that, like, nobody,
really?
I don't even know what the name of the movie is. Like, it's just like one of the largest and worst financial decisions Apple has ever made. Like, that's the kind of money they're throwing around, though. So you could understand perhaps why Jason Sudeikis maybe came out of a meeting and was like, I'm making as much Ted Lasso as anybody ever wants.
Yeah, but wait, what is the show that Jonah Hill did?
It's a movie that I can't recall the name of. And it's a movie? I don't feel the need to. I don't know.
No, that's a Warner Brothers movie. July 2026.
Hmm. I mean, I suppose you could do a quick Jonah Hill Apple TV googs.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Oh, Outcome with Keanu.
Yes. Sure.
Outcome?
Yeah.
Did it fail? I saw it listed and I was like, oh, I could watch that. That's fun. Sounds fun.
Yeah, but I don't know. If it failed, for $20 million, I should know everything about it. It should have by osmosis entered my brain a gajillion times.
I mean, there are a ton of people in that movie.
Yeah.
The cast is stacked. Matt Bomer, Martin Scorsese.
Good.
What?
Well, he was
Cameron Diaz.
He was just in
David Spade.
The
Drew Barrymore
studio. So
that's crazy. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's true. Anyway. But yeah, Apple TV, making great TV shows. They make a lot of great sci-fi, but they're also proving to make heartfelt, emotional television shows some of the best TV of recent years, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, 100%. And again, I liked the show, even though, Dr. Julie Barham, played by Wendy Malick, barely a character. Jorge, played by Trey Santiago Hudson, barely a character. Derek, number two, disappeared inexplicably for half of the season, but still, I guess, a better character than them. Charlie, no character whatsoever as Brian's husband. We don't know anything about him. Derek, good. Liz, totally redeemed herself, or at least... Alice, a good character. Sean, not so much. Paul, amazing character. Brian, really, really great. Gabby has ups and downs, and Jimmy as well. I don't know. Interesting enough, where I was into it the entire way through, and even though I was actively complaining, still really enjoying it.
Yeah, for sure. Agreed. I feel the same.
Agreed. Do you agree, audience? Agreed. Let us know down in the comments. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because you can comment on podcasts on Spotify now, which is pretty cool.
That's so true.
So if you're listening on Spotify, send us something. Comment on it. That's pretty cool, right? That's the thing people do, right?
It is. Also, you can leave us a positive Apple review or find us on the internet in many other ways that Adam's about to detail right now.
Yes, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ for $1 or more a month. You can get all of our episodes early, ad-free. We also have some Patreon exclusives peppered in there as we do them, but we also say your name at the end of each and every episode, so we'd like to thank our current patrons, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, 6-7, Adam, there's still time to watch The Pit, Brent Ginn, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, Buffalo Pizzle, C. Fritz, and it's not eggnog season anymore. And a special thanks to Brent Ginn and Butter Nichols for being our $5 a month tier patron. We appreciate all of you for donating and supporting the podcast. Please also follow us on our socials at the HBO Boys Pod or the HBO Boys Podcast on Threads, Instagram, TikTok. Like Ryan said, we're very active on Threads. I'm going to put up a post and a poll that's, hey, who would have been a better cast for Sophie and Shrinking if it wasn't Colby Smulders, a.k.a. Robin from How I Met Your Mother? And you can weigh in there, and we'll read them off next episode. So follow us there and interact. It's a very cool space over there.
Hundo. Simultaneously, The Pit, by the way, finished that season. It was pretty great. I liked the end. The end was...
Okay, so I've heard mixed reviews about this season.
Yeah, people didn't really like the end. Also, there was a huge ice storyline, which is pretty polarizing, and but like, I don't know, it's just it's a John Wells show. It's a good show. It incredibly sometimes frustrating to watch, and also sometimes just straight up like stressful, but
yeah,
still worth, I think, people's time.
Fair enough. And Noah Wyle's still good.
Noah Wyle he's so verklempt on a constant basis. The man has every scene, he's just like grabbing his face. He's like, oh my god, my life. Like, that's his whole thing every freaking scene. But yeah, it's pretty good.
Love it. Maybe I'll watch it, who knows.
All right, cool. Well, join us next time. Next week we'll be catching up on season 5 of The Boys to where we are, to get to those episodes, and then we'll be able to finish out the final season of The Boys episode by episode. So look forward to that, you crazy critters.
Yeah, I love it. I'm so psyched to watch really violent superhero things.
Yeah, everybody explodes and there's all blood everywhere, and it's pretty sweet.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.